First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be sitting in Alan Nathan's chair today. I'm Karen Cataline, commentator, columnist, all-around rabble-rouser, and a regular or sometimes guest host on the Alan Nathan Show. Alan is on assignment, but he wants you to know and remind you of his motto. We want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. While we're waiting for our first guest, and he may or may not show up, our guests are very busy, you know, and we just have to wait for them. But that's okay, because my, oh my, news is breaking that Daniel Penny was just acquitted of charges in New York City. I just gave a little tweet because, you know, I got rid of Facebook. I don't like playing in the playground where other people make the rules and they tell you what you can or cannot say. So I got rid of my Facebook account, but you can find me at Twitter, just my name, Karen Cataline. Karen, at Karen Cataline, I should say, with a K. I just tweeted that Alan Bragg, the Manhattan District Attorney of New York, the very same who seems to have been behind many of the lawfare cases against Donald Trump, must be very unhappy today. First, if you may remember, now I don't pretend to know all the facts in this case against Daniel Penny. We often, as conservatives, like to give the benefit of the doubt to former Marines who are doing their very level best to protect citizens on a subway train from not only a homeless person, because there are many of those in New York, I lived there for more than 13 years, but a ranting, raving, threatening, hysterical homeless person who says he's going to kill people. So this good Samaritan, Daniel Penny, wrestled the assailant to the ground, put him in a sleeper hold, and from what I understand, obviously this is third-hand information, it was proven in court. I think it was. You can write to me at KarenCataline.com and let me know. That the sleeper hold was not primarily responsible for the man dying, okay? So the man did die while Daniel Penny had him in a sleeper hold. Many people have seen that video. And what did New York City do in the time of Biden, in the time of cheering criminality and punishing law-abiding citizens as much as they can all over this country? Well, they charged Daniel with homicide, right? I don't think that ever would have happened in another time and place. Yes, it should be investigated. Absolutely. That case needed to be investigated. But to charge this good Samaritan in protecting the citizens on that train, all of whom said they were very, very frightened of this man. He wasn't just menacing, he was threatening, said he was going to kill people, said he didn't mind dying, if I remember correctly, that of course you're going to go after the guy who's trying to save innocent people and protect the guy who's threatening innocent people with murder. And another case in New York City, not coincidentally, seems to bear this out. And because Twitter is my little home now for simple and quick thoughts, I love it. I am thrilled with Elon Musk, who is quite possible, if he did not stand up and put his considerable money where his mouth is, to save free speech and even spend more than it was probably worth to buy Twitter and expose the tyrannical anti-free expression, free First Amendment on Twitter, and turned it into a place where people can say what they like, disagree as they like, and not be punished by proxies of the federal government, which is very much like Stalinism. On Twitter, I happen to comment. In fact, I can pull it up here on my Twitter page, possibly, because it doesn't look like we may have our guest. And we love him, but he sometimes is busy with other things, or he's run late with an interview. So we have this CEO of United Healthcare who was gunned down at 7:30-ish in the morning in Midtown Manhattan. Once again, Alvin Bragg's beat, right? But it isn't just Alvin Bragg. It's the whole radical left that has bastardized right and wrong, has perverted justice. And now, because people are angry at insurance companies for not paying properly their bills, they seem to be saying that it is perfectly okay for an assailant to, on a Manhattan street, target somebody and kill them in broad daylight in New York City. It sort of reminds me of Al Capone in Chicago, where there were shootouts in broad daylight. And the reason I say that is because the tweet that I posted, and I'm appalled at this disgraceful example. Here's what happened. There is a post with a video. Forgive me, I'm all over the place here, and I won't be in a moment. The video that I posted, headline, Internet Sleuths Refuse to Help Cops Find Healthcare Assassin. So that's their job, ladies and gentlemen, is to help law enforcement find people who may have committed a crime, namely murder. And one of those people that is featured in this video is a person who claims to be anti-racist. And yet her bigotry and hate does not allow her to believe in equal justice in this country. The quote that I put along with this video, which you can find if you like at KarenCataline.com, is disgraceful example of the level of our cultural and moral disintegration. It is now socially acceptable to make sweeping generalizations, promote unequal justice, and confuse one's own anger with the justification for murder. So Brian Thompson, a man walking down the street, and you can see this video if you care to, is murdered, is gunned down and targeted, apparently because he is the CEO of United Healthcare. And oh, people just don't like insurance companies. So he symbolizes all of their rage. They are now judge, jury, and executioner in a system, the most beautiful and wonderful system in the world of equal justice, where people are not guilty until proven, they're innocent, forgive me, until proven guilty. They're innocent until proven guilty. And I don't care if he represents any organization. If you, and I know you don't because you're Alan Nathan listeners, if you cheer and support the hatred of people based on what they do for a living, based on the color of their skin, based on the profession they've chosen, instead of what they themselves as individuals have done, then you are a bigot. So here's this anti-racist activist who has millions of followers on her as an internet sleuth. Unbelievable. But she's quite proud to tell you that she's not going to lift a finger to help find this murderer. Now, the irony is that makes any one of us a target. It makes someone wearing a yarmulke a target. It makes a black person a target. It makes anyone a target because they symbolize somebody else's rage, and we don't have a strong enough civil society in which we prosecute people for what they did, not for what they represent. I gotta go. Sorry we couldn't have our guests, but we'll have them again. We're gonna start with a list of great guests on this show. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
From Joanna Ho, the New York Times bestselling author of Eyes That Kiss in the Corners, comes A City Full of Santas, a fun and festive holiday story about one little girl's hunt for the real Santa in a city that's bustling with joy. The new children's picture book features sparkling illustrations from acclaimed artist Taimi Fung. One little girl has always hoped to stay awake long enough to meet Santa, and she knows this is her year. When Mama takes her on a special journey to the city, they discover Santa's ho-ho-hoing everywhere, making it so much harder to find the real one. The little girl is sure she knows just what she's looking for, but will she find Santa in time for Christmas? Award-winning author Joanna Ho.
A City Full of Santas is a warm, whimsical Christmas story about the true magic of the season. I hope families will enjoy reading this book together all throughout the holidays.
The new children's book, A City Full of Santas, is now available wherever books are sold.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about one in four car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. We are delighted to welcome our first guest on the Alan Nathan Show, national political analyst and host of a syndicated radio show, The Truth with John Gordon. I bet you're not surprised when I tell you that our first guest is John Gordon. Welcome, John, to the program. We're glad to have you.
Thank you, Karen. Enjoyed the opportunity to be with you.
Yes, very, very glad to have you as well. So let's see. There is an article by you in the New York Post, And full disclosure on my part, even though it's not necessary, I love the New York Post. When I lived in New York, I always loved the Post, and now they're more conservative than most. But you got a there is an article, not yours, but there is an article with a headline, Trump assassination attempt hearing goes off the rails as shouting match erupts between acting Secret Service director, says a GOP rep. Talk to me all about this, because it sounds delicious, is it?
Well, I mean, I watched the hearing. Validates what I have said since July the 13th. The Secret Service needs an overhaul from top to bottom. You know, I have studied the Kennedy assassination since I was home in the fourth grade in 1963. And I watched it unfold in front of my parents' black and white television set in the basement of our house. There are eerily similarities between November 22nd, 63, and what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
I don't believe that Thomas Matthew Crooks pulled this off by himself. If he pulled it off at all. The key to Butler is a guy named Maxwell Urich. His parents live in Mesa, Arizona. His father owns Urich Munitions. They have done work supplying armaments by and through the CIA. And in the moments after the assassination, all the news agencies showed a white van being towed away from the site, saying that it contained explosives. Well, that van was owned by Urich Munitions. Maxwell Urich drove the van there from Arizona. This kid, this 30-year-old kid, had fought in the Ukraine and is known to have had ties with the CIA. It is my firm belief, without the smoking gun, that this was deep state activity. Urich is the key. The day after the assassination, his parents filed a missing persons report. He has not been seen or heard of since. I can go on and on, but so I don't trust.
Well, I want you to some extent, because let me just throw in the fact that no matter how conservative you may be, no matter how much our listeners and myself included know that we have a government that is run amok, the current one, that is seems not unbeholden to anyone, it's heartbreaking and almost unbelievable to imagine that our own government would do, consider, or ever do such a thing. So please tell us more, because apparently the people in the hearing have a lot to be angry about.
No question. I think Americans have a lot to be angry about. And if you look at the trajectory of what the deep state did to Donald Trump, they tried to impeach him twice. Both impeachments were phony. They were fake. Then they tried to convict him of crimes that he didn't commit. Four prosecutions. He beat every one of them. And so what was left except assassination? I said it. Tucker Carlson said it. Number of other people feared it. And then in Butler, we saw it 2 days before the Republican National Convention was to take place in Milwaukee, where I was proud to be a delegate. So I think that the Secret Service needs an overhaul from top to bottom. Ronald Rowe needs to go, just like Chertle did before him. He displayed horrible character in that hearing, and when he got in the shouting match with the representative from Texas.
Partly what I meant about the people I have a lot to be angry about is the people being accused seem to have this righteous indignation, phony righteous indignation. We're the Secret Service. How dare you accuse us? Well, not unlike the FBI, which we've been fed propaganda for years, was beyond reproach. Is it so beyond reproach now? I don't think so. Tell us more about the things that you know that you, and did they come out in the hearing? My apologies for not having had the time to see it, parts of it.
No, I mean, the fact is that the leadership, the leaders in Congress, the members of this committee are all dancing around what the real issue is in my mind. And, you know, I know that there are people that are going to say, well, why are you having on this right-wing conspiratorialist on your radio show? Well, I'm just taking, I'm just looking at all the evidence that I have collected and watched. And I think the truth will come out. Hopefully it's not another 65 years like it was with Kennedy.
But, no, you know, let me just respectfully correct you. They won't release the information even to this day, even though they were supposed to. So we're hoping that Donald Trump will keep his promise and release it because he didn't the first time.
Well, I don't need the files to be released at this point to know with 99.9% certainty that Alan Dulles and the CIA orchestrated and conducted the assassination of Kennedy, that Hoover and Johnson covered it up. And there are so many books that have been written about it that are compelling. Roger Stone's the Men Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, David Talbot, The Devil's Chessboard.
Forgive me. Do you think there are any, I mean, you can't know what you don't know, but do you think there are any surprises in the files that would surprise even you?
So again, Tucker Carlson has spoken with an individual, a source that works in the archives. Mm-hmm. She has seen the documents and reported to Tucker that they point to straight to the CIA. So I think that the surprise will be perhaps a smoking gun, even though I am a little bit skeptical that they would have allowed the smoking gun to have survived for this many years. But when you talk about the federal government, I think we have to realize that it is a huge machine. And I think there are 3 million people who work for the federal government.
I apologize. We have to wrap it up. I really didn't want to interrupt you, but it's part of my job. How can people find you, John Gordon, so they can learn more about you, your wealth of information?
Well, you can watch us on Rumble, YouTube, and Getter, John Gordon Truth. We'd welcome your listeners to join us every Saturday on the John Fredericks Radio Network as well.
That is great. John Gordon, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Karen.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll have another guest after this on the LNA on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, type 2 diabetes and obesity are closely related conditions. In fact, so often present together that the new term diabesity is being used by medical experts to describe this dual epidemic. This is partially because somebody who is obese is 6 times more likely to develop type 2 diabetes over the course of their lifetime than somebody that doesn't suffer from obesity. Weight loss journeys that take into account a whole person approach to care have always been and will continue to be the most effective in improving your health over the long term. Well, some employer-sponsored health plans are now offering programs like UnitedHealthcare's new Total Weight Support Program to help people on their weight loss journey. This offers things like coaching, progress tools, education, success kits, support groups, and much more. Speak to your employer about programs that might be available to you and get more information about UnitedHealthcare's new Total Weight Support Program at uhc.com.
Once again, this holiday season, bright red vending machines are showing up in cities across the world. But here's the twist. Instead of allowing you to buy a candy bar or soda, these giving machines, as they are known, let people purchase items for those in need, such as meals, clothing, clean water, hygiene kits, and even chickens and goats. They benefit a combination of local and national charities, such as American Red Cross, UNICEF, and CARE. As part of its annual Light the World campaign, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints covers all operational costs for the giving machines. Camille Johnson is the church's Relief Society General President.
Motivated by love of God and our neighbor, the giving machines afford us an opportunity to care for those in need, in our own neighborhoods and around the world.
This year, giving machines can be found in 32 states and 5 continents. To find a giving machine near you, visit givingmachine.org.
The season of savings is here at Office Depot Office Max. Shop amazing deals on everything you need to close out the year and start 2025 strong. Save now with new deals every day online and new weekly sales online and in stores every Sunday. The more deals, the merrier. Plus, save on those must-have gifts, essential supplies, organizational tools, desks, chairs, PCs, printers, and more. Add a personal touch to any present with Hallmark's iconic collection of greeting cards, ornaments, stationery, and gift wrap to create memorable moments. Available in your local Office Depot Office Max retail stores. Or create your own custom photo gifts, cards, and calendars for your teachers, coworkers, friends, and family. Then pack it and ship it all in one trip. Office Depot Office Max is your source for all the last-minute parties, presents, and thank yous you need. Tis the season to save. Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What is dadication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we have another great guest, attorney in Canada. See, we go all over the place. Host of the Grey Matter podcast and senior fellow for the conservative think tank, the Frontier Center for Public Policy. His name is Leighton Gray, and we have him right here on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Leighton Gray. Thank you so much for joining us here.
It's my pleasure to be on your program.
It's good to have you. So the country to the north of us is got a lot of news going on, everything from Trudeau visiting with Trump and Trump playfully saying that if he can handle the the threatened tariffs for not securing the border, they might make Canada the 51st state. You can comment on that. But more specific to this area, Canada's banning more firearms than ever. Some people think those confiscated guns might be heading to Ukraine. What say you?
Well, first of all, the idea of Canada becoming a 51st state, I don't think should be laughed off. I think that what Mr. Trump is signaling to Canada, especially to Mr. Trudeau, is that the United States is going to take a much more sincere interest in the domestic politics of Canada because, and this ties into the gun issue, that's become very obvious, not only to Mr. Trump, but also to the new vice president, J.D. Vance, Tulsi Gabbard, Mr. Homan, RFK Jr., and other members of Trump's cabinet, that Canada has become a CCP client state, and that consequently it poses a geopolitical threat to the safety and security of the United States. And then there's this other problem of a $100 billion trade surplus that Canada has with the U.S. And Trump has made it very clear he's going to do something about that. But in my view, what Mr. Trump is doing, and he's just being a very transactional politician, as he always has been, is I think he's using the threat of tariffs as leverage. And he's saying to Canada, look, the party's over. This communist experiment has to end because it's posing a serious threat to what we're doing in the U.S. In terms of the gun situation, this is a real sad sack story that dates all the way back to 1977. Justin Trudeau's father was our prime minister at that time. He was sort of Canada's Woodrow Wilson, kind of a closet communist. And he brought in gun control at that time, or tried to. But we found, several studies have found, that it has had no impact on reducing homicide and robbery rates. And one study even found that it may have actually increased robberies involving firearms. And there are similar studies, you probably know, in the United States. Mm-hmm. This most recent situation, though, with gun confiscation is really, really bizarre. About 4 or 5 years ago, Trudeau government brought in a mandatory gun confiscation law where people basically had to turn in their assault-style firearms, which actually do not exist. There's only automatic, semi-automatic, and single-shot. No such thing as an assault-style rifle. But now, most recently, it seems that Canada has run out of money to give to Ukraine. Next to the United States, we give the most per capita to Ukraine. And so now what they've said, they've come up with this crazy idea that hunters and sportsmen are going to give up their guns to the Canadian government, and they're going to send these over to Ukraine. And the problem is, these are not weapons of war. They're really not suitable for that theater of war. And really what this is more virtue signaling from our government. It's pretty clear that they're following in the footsteps of many totalitarian regimes in the 20th century, such as USSR, Nazi Germany, Maoist China, Cuba, and others. And they figured out that, gun confiscation is one of the key steps on the way to ensuring a totalitarian regime will continue on and on and on. And there's no question in the minds of people like myself, conservatives in Canada, that this is the real agenda of the Trudeau Liberals.
It's so well put. And if you say that so well put point on there, and you add the supreme irony that guns confiscated from people who bought them, from people who want the right, who deserve a God-given right to self-defense, could possibly end up in the hands of people in Ukraine because the radical leftists have sold the war in Ukraine to the public as Ukraine having the right to defend itself. Whoa.
Yes. And
how about that?
And what Canadians use to defend themselves in the meantime, because of course we're living over here in Canada, in the sort of friendly and secure shadow of the United States. But that doesn't mean that at some point we're not going to need weapons. In fact, I was talking to a geopolitical analyst, an American named Brandon Weikert, and he said, based upon the Russian and Chinese activity in the Arctic, this is part of the reason why Mr. Trump and his new administration are looking very seriously at Canada, because Canada could very well become a theater for the next proxy war, foreseeably between the United States and China and Russia, who are very active in the Arctic right now. So, in that scenario, a disarmed Canadian populace would be very, 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 very difficult for us to defend ourselves. Meantime, we've got 116% hike in gun violence in the last 9 years since Justin Trudeau became prime minister, mainly because he brought in many of the legal reforms, quote unquote, that you saw with the Biden administration, being soft on crime, instituting social justice, in courts, making bail very easy to obtain. All of these things are causing, and of course, mass migration, which is as much or more of a problem in Canada than it is in the U.S.
It's hard to imagine it would be more of a problem, but look at the same playbook. It's always the same playbook. Elevate criminals, punish law-abiding citizens, scare them, threaten them, and take away their right to defend themselves. And I was struck by what you said, Leighton, when you said that it could be Canada the next candidate for a proxy war, because proxy wars done by the likes of Russia and China only happen in budding tyrannies, don't they?
That's correct. And, you know, the disarmament of the populace is very key. You know, Mr. Castro, the late Mr. Castro, famously said, you know, he said, guns for what? To fight against whom? Against the revolutionary government that has the support of the people? You know, that puts it pretty succinctly, right?
How about that?
You only need guns.
Yeah, because Cuba was such a democracy, man.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. Yeah. You know, and, yeah. You know, the problem is, you know, these gun bans or trying to restrict legal gun ownership is really just that's a Trojan horse. When you think about it, you know, places like Canada, the United States are actually models of responsible gun ownership, not only for the rest of the world, but throughout history. When you think of how many guns there are, literally millions and millions of guns throughout Canada, the United States, it should be, if we really needed to restrict lawful gun ownership, it should be like an old Wild West movie with John Wayne and Gary Cooper storming about. But actually, the amount of gun violence we have is fractionally low given the number of firearms that are out there. And, of course, everyone knows that none of this crime is being committed by law-abiding gun owners. These are all being committed by a very, very small group of people, thankfully, who are involved with things like drug cartels and otherwise, who are not lawful gun owners. They're using illegal guns. And this is the interesting thing. And one of the things that Mr. Trump is concerned about is that Canada has become a net exporter of fentanyl to the United States. That's a shameful thing for us Canadians. But by the same token, Canada, since Canada's got so serious about gun confiscation, the number of illegal firearms flowing into Canada from the United States has increased exponentially. And this has been true throughout history. If you take away something that people can own lawfully, they find other ways to acquire it.
Yeah, just ask the mob in the 20s. They made a fortune on bootleg booze. Exactly right. Exactly
from
right.
Canada.
It's not an accident that Trudeau is considered to be among the most far left. Some even have called him a communist. We've got him in America. I only have I really don't even have that much time, I'm sorry to say. I'm always fascinated to hear conservatives, either in Canada or in any place where they're in the minority. How can people find you and follow you? Because, you know, you're doing the heavy lifting there, and it's really, really important.
Yeah, the best way is to look on our X page at Grey Matter Convo. And if you like what you see there, please follow us. Thank you.
At Grey Matter Podcast. I just want to say that because you're fading out there. Leighton Gray, thank you so much for joining us on the Alan Nathan Show. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to wrap up this hour with one other great guest. Don't go away. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
You know, advancements in medical care for pets have enabled pet owners to provide the best care for their animals should they become sick or injured. But unexpected vet bills can cause a significant financial hardship for pet owners. Pet insurance, very similar to human health insurance, is designed to help alleviate the financial stress so humans don't have to forego the treatment their pets may require due to financial constraints. What we focus on at Pet Partners is the distribution of comprehensive and customized flexible pet insurance plans that employers can offer to employees as part of their benefits package. The human-animal bond is stronger than ever. Pets have become part of the family. They are now sleeping in the beds with us and wearing pajamas. With this evolution, employers are really taking notice and should consider ways they can support and recognize that pets are part of the family. If you want to learn more, you can reach us at onepackplan.petpartners.com on how pets can improve your workplace and your culture.
Retail forecasts are predicting record-setting holiday spending, but consumers are still expected to be more price-conscious and pragmatic this season. We want great value without compromising on quality. Marty Skoll Jordan at Tractor Supply Company says there's one place that has it all.
We're seeing customers come into Tractor Supply looking for gifts that you typically won't find at traditional department stores. From durable workwear to trending Western apparel, premium pet products to reliable outdoor gear, toys, and home decor. We really do have it all. Our buyers are telling us that they're looking for tools, equipment, supplies for gardening and grilling gear for what we call the life out here lifestyle. They want practical gifts for people who love outdoor activities or working on their land, or even perfect gifts for pet parents to connect with their furry family members.
To find outstanding gifts for everyone you're shopping for, go to tractorsupply.com/holiday wish list.
The Los Angeles Auto Show is back and is the ultimate showcase for automotive innovation. Here from the floor of the show is Jeff Glucker, senior video editor at Kelley Blue Book.
The LA Auto Show is packed with cutting-edge technology and exciting reveals like Kia's refreshed EV lineup and the 2026 Kia Sportage. With over 1,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs on display, there's something here for everyone.
This year, there's more to explore, more to see, and more to experience than ever before.
Attendees can check out the latest models, from sleek SUVs to cutting-edge EVs, and even hop into vehicles for ride-and-drive experiences. Kia is showcasing the 2026 Sportage, built for today's savvy and eco-conscious drivers with three distinct powertrains. The refreshed EV6, winner of the 2023 North American Utility Vehicle of the Year, and the high-performance EV9 GT with 501 horsepower highlight Kia's electrified future.
To learn more about the latest debuts from Kia America, visit kia.com.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, It's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and we are pleased to wrap up this hour with a scholar in residence for the Mises Institute. If you are not familiar with Ludwig von Mises, who's one of the standard bearers for free market thought, libertarian ideas, not necessarily party libertarianism, but liberty ideas, then stay tuned. Here to join us is Dr. Wanjiro Njoya. Thank you so much, Doctor, for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, good to have you. So there's an article, I think you wrote it, I'm trying to pull it up now, on the federal and statist racecraft.
Yes.
And you did write it, didn't you? I don't have it right in front of me. I've got a stack of papers here. Sometimes I'm a little disorganized. I apologize. What was the publication? And give us, just to start us off here while I find it, statist, what does racecraft mean exactly?
So racecraft, the idea is when they try to define political interests based on race, when they say, this is what white people want, this is what black people need, and, black people should vote this way, white people are doing this because, just trying to frame everything in the language of race. I guess the best example is when Joe Biden said, yes, if we don't vote for him.
You ain't black. I was just thinking that as you said it.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So that's it. That's what I'm against. And I called it statist because the federal government for years has been promoting this kind of politics right from the Reconstruction era. So that's the example I took from South Carolina in the 1870s.
Yes. And this is an article from the Mises Institute. I just want to direct everybody to it. And indeed, it has your byline on it, Wanjiro Njoya, the Mises Institute. You can go and find that there. I have been saying for years that this move towards calling everything racist is a direct move to, focusing on bigotry, lumping everybody together into these collectivist groups, lends itself beautifully to communism and socialism, because everybody is nothing more than the group to which they belong, and they're not responsible or judged as an individual. Say more about that if you think that that's part of the idea here.
That's absolutely correct. It lends itself to communism, and in fact, it's driven by people who are devoted neo-Marxists. They do it. They just replaced the class war that they used to run with a war between different races, in the sense that they're saying that different races have different interests and that the two must inevitably clash. They tried this by saying the rich and the poor must always be at war. And when that failed, they thought, we'll just run the same argument, but we'll say it's the races that are at war.
Well, and they take tensions that are already existing, just as in the Holocaust, there were existing biases and bigotries, and they exploit them. But what is rarely talked about it, and I think you do in this article, is the notion that you're teaching the public to see each other as members of groups and collectivists instead of individuals, which is our entire court system is based on being judged by your actions, what you did, not the member of the group or color of your skin or any of that you belong to, because that's superficial. It doesn't hold you accountable. And they're taking away personal accountability by doing this, aren't they?
They're absolutely doing that. And you can see, you just mentioned the court system, but you can see they're bringing this into court trials as well, saying this person shouldn't be found guilty because he's black, this person should be found guilty because he's white. They're bringing this into the court system. It's almost as if people are on trial for their entire race instead of being on trial for what they've done.
Exactly. It's interesting, and honestly, we don't have time to really dissect this article, which is why it's so great to have you here so our listeners can actually read this article for themselves. Federal power and statist racecraft makes it quite clear, but it's so interesting that you're with us when this very day, Daniel Penny was acquitted of his Good Samaritan act, from all accounts. And there were these same statists who were trying to go after a law-abiding citizen. Now, I, you know, that case should have been investigated, certainly, but there was so much political, I want you to comment on it if you have with our time left, so much political football-ism in the fact that the homeless person happened to be Black. Daniel Penny was a white Marine, and Alvin Bragg and others just could not wait to prosecute him, could they?
Absolutely. And the only reason he was charged in the first place was because of what they called the race optics. Nobody would have charged him if those hadn't been the optics of race, because clearly, I mean, everyone present when this event transpired was thanking him for saving them from danger.
And they're the ones who know whether they felt threatened or not.
Yeah, and they were all thanking him, and it's just it's a travesty of justice that they charged him in the first place. And even worse, a couple of days ago, where BLM, you know, resurrected from wherever they had gone into hiding, that they all came out and started saying if he's acquitted, they're going to go and riot again.
Yeah, emotional blackmail. But, you know, in our minute left, we almost don't even have less than a minute. Is it a positive thing that maybe certain political climates are changing with Donald Trump coming in office, that he was actually acquitted, and that we maybe the race card is not working like it used to? What do you think?
Yep. The race card is more and more being declined, and that's good. So, you know, BLM is trying to revive themselves, and no one's buying that. They've said it's over. We don't want any part of that. And people are actually calling for them to be held accountable for what they did in the past.
Yeah. Isn't it ironic that people can unite against others who are trying to divide us, and we're united against the people that are trying to divide us?
It's
poetic justice. I wish I had more time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we can find you at the Mises Institute, Dr. Wanjiro Nagoya, right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. I hope I get to talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, take care. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with a whole nother hour of the Ellen Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.